And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 150 for July 28th, 2016. Old School at the Movies, brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Anything Goes, The Ohio Report, and Squabble Box. Welcome to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. Without further ado, let's get into our huge, gigantic panel of one this week. Mr. Heavy Set, the Iron Man.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
I want to know which one looks better, the one with me playing saxophone or the one me listening to saxophone.
Did I get that right? The Ohio Indie Report? I call it Ohio Out Valley, so I usually botch that.
You actually said Ohio Report, which is technically the Twitter handle, but the show is the Ohio Indie Report.
I was close. We've only been off for 2 months, so I'm surprised I actually got that intro without botching it.
Well, we had a 0.5 episode. I don't know if you knew it or not.
Yeah, you invite Ceramic on the show, and I didn't even know about it. She's a panelist. Without me even being a part of it, man. What's sneaking behind my back inviting panelists on the show?
Well, I figured, you actually gave me permission to do the show. And then
open invite. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, last time I was like, hey, I kind of want to do this segment at the end of the show and I want to do it pre-recorded so it's nicely prepared. Then you listen to it and you're like, nah, I'm going to make it an episode. And I went, oh, okay. I wasn't planning on it, but okay. So that's why I wanted to do the same thing. And Ceramic Samurai did a fantastic job. And really curious of what people think of that episode. I mean, I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it too. There's actually some parts you're going a little in depth. So I turned it off about halfway through because I was worried about getting spoiled. Because I'm going this week to watch it.
We cover one spoiler towards the end. And we take about 5 minutes to talk about it. But that was 5 minutes of normal recording time. Not when I took out silences, but there's only, I think, one spoiler to the movie. I think everything else has been kind of been put out there by trailers. And I should say, besides cameos. Cameos are how people are weaved into this in that particular movie. But there's also the fact of there's a post-credit scene. And I think that is the biggest spoiler of them all.
Are you referring to the article that you submitted on Facebook that I clicked on? I didn't get your pun at first. I was half asleep or whatever. So
well,
I didn't get
it. Even said like something about a spoiler in it. Like it didn't say it in the headline. But really? there was in that paragraph it said something about there being a spoiler.
Like it's not a huge surprise, I guess. But I was like I would have liked to seen that at as an end credit scene or whatever instead of reading it online. So a little bit sad for that, but. Ceramic was putting over that movie hard, man. So that was like, okay, I'll check it out now. Like, regardless of that, I was still going to check it out because I didn't want to be biased by those friggin' trolls that were giving it bad IMDb ratings before it was even out. Before it was even released or, like, giving it 2/10. And unfortunately, like, it's all males between 18 and 45 that are doing it. So that sucks, you know, like. Give it at least a fair shake before you start crapping on it.
I feel like the most diehard Ghostbusters fans have all pretty much said the same thing. What I've said of it being an average movie, like it's not exactly the greatest thing in the world, but it's not exactly a drizzling piece of shit. People are judging it. Like, they're coming from a weird nostalgia that I don't understand. I'm like, wait a minute. Me and some diehard fans that I know, one that even dresses up like a Ghostbuster, said the same thing, where it's like, it's kind of that average level. It's not a big piece of shit, but it's not great. So where are these people coming from? I don't understand it. I feel like they're going crazy over a movie they don't necessarily love as much as they claim they do. Like, maybe you do like the movie, but you don't really love it.
Well, I think it's part just, I guess, rose-colored glasses of being a kid, remembering the movie and the specific characters in the movie. For them, it's like a sacred thing, and you changing it to either an all-female cast or mucking around with the story a bit. For them, it's like sacrilegious, which is stupid. Like, the franchise is 30 years old. Change it up, freshen it up. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Melissa McCarthy, whatever. Who cares? I'm still going to check it out to give it a shot before I fucking shit on it. Regardless of female cast fucking going different, who cares? Just keep an open mind for once, man. And that's why I think that Back to the Future will never get redone, just because I think as passionate as the Ghostbusters fans are, I think the Back to the Future fans are even more passionate. And, you know, say if they try to flip it around and do like a female lead for Back to the Future or something like that, before it even gets released, people will cry. Or if it's a black Marty McFly, it's like the end of the world, you know? Like, I just hate the closed-mindedness of the internet sometimes, because the hype machine can either work really well in your favor or really well against you. And it seems to be completely out of the control, for the most part, by the directors and the movie companies. It's just, either they're going to shut on it or they're not going to, and you have nothing that you can do to change it.
I think one of the sad things is a lot of times we don't know the intentions of Hollywood. Yeah, they always want to make a buck. I mean, that's number one. But some studios out there, it seems like that's the only thing. But you have filmmakers out there, and just any aspect of the movie industry, whether it be directors, producers, writers, and many of the artists that you actually have, like doing CGI and all that kind of stuff, where they want to pay homage to something that they love so much. I think you get that a lot with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for example. You got so many people that love a lot of these characters, and they love what Marvel does, so they want to take it and do it justice on the screen. I'm not going to say this; it's like that or not like that with Ghostbusters. I do feel like there was a money-driven thing, because I happened to catch up on a lot of the stories of Ghostbusters coming into this movie. Because from the video game to this movie, it was just a jumbled mess of news where nothing ever added up. Stories kept changing. You didn't know who to believe. But I had a couple videos on YouTube. They put them all out there and basically kind of explained where everything went. And the Sony president at the time of the video game, after it came out and they finally said, okay, we're going to make Ghostbusters 3. She went along for it for so long, and obviously there was the problems with Bill Murray. And then eventually she wanted to push Ivan Reitman out and bring in a different director. And she wanted to work with Paul Feig. And that's kind of where we ended up getting where we did. Paul Feig is known to be a kind of a feminist to an extent, because he grew up in an all-female household. So it's kind of like he's sympathetic towards women. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's just that mindset that he already had. So he kind of developed this idea of making it all female and doing some of the things that he did. Is he a fan of Ghostbusters? I don't know. And I won't say he is or isn't. But I still think this for me, this was fun. As someone who grew up loving Ghostbusters, to finally actually be able to say, you know what? I'm going to go see this movie, because what else am I going to do for this? My love for this? I got to experience it with Turtles. But the second movie came out when I was about 4. And I don't have any recollection of that movie at all, like growing up. So if I'm not going to get 3, and if this movie completely bombs to where they don't want to make a sequel, they're still never making Ghostbusters 3, but they'll probably never make another remake too. So it's this or nothing. So I chose this.
You know what? There's nothing you can do. We'll leave it at that. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to give my own opinion. Fuck the trolls. I appreciate that. I think you and Ceramic too came in it with just an open mind. And I like Ceramic's point of view, because I like the female side of it, especially with an all male driven panel, except for maybe like Gallifrey when she's on once in a while or whatever. So it was cool to see that from that point of view. And also yours, from an avid Ghostbuster fan, like just seeing your Facebook posts and your fucking GroupMe chats with like all the merch that you bought. I think you took a couple of photos with your entire desk covered with pop figures and sunglasses and photos and Twinkies and fucking you name it. So go-to guy for this thing. And I think it's cool that you had an open mind, because I feel that there's too many people with the passion that you had that was doing the opposite. That was just like coming in guns blazing against preparing the shit on it. So kudos to you and Ceramic for giving an unbiased point of view. I thought it was a really good episode. Okay. Now we've been talking like 15 minutes about Ghostbusters again, but there's
I want to throw in one quick plug.
Go for it.
We didn't talk about it on that podcast, and I wish we would have, but we went an hour, and I actually told her it was probably going to be a half hour, but I didn't. That's what sometimes happens with these shows and conversations. They just keep on going. But the same day that Ghostbusters was released in theaters here in the United States, or domestically, you should say, a documentary was released on Netflix called Ghost Heads. It had been out a little bit prior, and I think it might have been a Kickstarter or something like that, like how they originally did the movie. But it was a bunch of Ghostbusters, like local chapters, and it's all about the people that do that. And they picked a couple stories and kind of like talked about them and had the people on and went through stuff that they go to and how much big of a fans they are. And there's actually, they go to even the British Columbia Ghostbusters. That like one of those guys goes to the Toronto Ghostbusters at like one of those Comic Cons around that area, and they meet up and have kind of fun stuff. But it's kind of cool to see the love of Ghostbusters from not just my point of view, because even I pale in comparison to some of them. And for me, who grew up absolutely loving it, like I said, just really, really cool to see. And there's even a female in it, and they go through stuff with her. So if you get a chance, I don't want to say it's that long of an episode. I mean, not an episode, but documentary. It's hour and a half, maybe. But I went through it really quick. Loved it.
Cool. Awesome. We will check that out. Okay, Heavy. We've been going on for about 20 minutes on Ghostbusters again. But you know what? It's a really interesting topic. But we do have a purpose. We do have a purpose for this episode. And the focus was originally supposed to be, why do movies cost so much to make? Now, we've been talking about budgets and gross for pretty much the entire entity of this podcast. Broke it down a little bit in, I think, a couple episodes, maybe like a year or two ago, but really didn't go super in depth. So I thought it'd be really interesting to do an entire episode based on how much something costs, how much is it going to make, marketing budgets, advertising, revenue from DVDs and merch, all kinds of factors. And the reason why I got motivated to do this, or kind of something that sparked a creative idea for me, was I was chatting with Ceramic in the GroupMe chat. We were talking about how, in my opinion, the Ghostbusters opening gross of, I think it was 40 million or 36. It was a bit just over 40.
46.
Okay. And that's domestic, I believe, because I think the worldwide gross was 60. Which
yeah,
is actually
the worldwide the worldwide gross wasn't much bigger.
Yeah.
They needed a 60 domestic.
Really. Yeah, well, they need a lot more, actually, in my opinion. But
well, I meant like for the opening week.
Right. So it was, you know, she saw it as it was number two, whatever. I said it was a complete flop and a disaster, whereas she didn't see it as the same way. And so I'm going to explain why, in my opinion, it's an absolute disaster. And why, although they just announced, I believe, that they're going to do a second one, or they're going to continue the franchise in some way, whether it's an all-male reboot, or they're going to continue with the female cast, which I don't think they're going to. But again, you know, I've been wrong in the past. But the reason why I thought it was a bust was because first I looked at the budget. The budget was $145 million. Now you got to factor in that the budget itself, Heavy, is that's for the production itself. That does not include marketing. And doing a bit of research, I realized that marketing costs are huge. Like checking a couple of articles, I'm reading that about half of the total production budget will get added on for marketing. To give you an example, for Ghostbusters, it was $140. In a typical movie franchise, add another half of that, so another $70 million on top of the $140 for the total budget, and that 70 would go into marketing. Now, it's even been higher than that for some franchises, like Batman. I've heard estimates of like $100 to $150 million to market that movie. It's crazy. Like even a Kevin Smith movie, I was hearing him one time on his podcast saying the movie cost $5 million to make. They spent $10 million to market it. So yeah, you know, like done cheaply, but then the movie studios is dropping $10 million to market the thing. You make $20 million, you pretty much break even. So Heavy, your initial thoughts, because, you know, so figure it's going to cost $140 million. Or it costed $140 million, $70 million for the budget, $70 million for the marketing. So that's $210 million right there. It made $40 million. Now, people don't realize, this is a super long question. People don't realize that the movie companies split the box office revenue. So you're only making about half in ticket sales. Now, in your opinion, given all that information, you're making $40 million, $60 million total worldwide. So that means they're profiting about $30 million in ticket sales. Cost $210 million to make. Do you agree that that's an absolute disaster?
Before we go any further, there's actually a video that I watched on YouTube last night that kind of talks, I mean, it was about Ghostbusters in general. It's really, it's mostly audio, which works great for this, not a lot of visual.
Instead of doing a review and commentary about the movie itself, this video will be about the movie's opening weekend performance and what that might mean for its sequel prospects. One of the first things Tom Rothman did when he took over the reins at Sony was to cut $15 million from the Ghostbusters budget, which in retrospect probably wasn't a bad idea. The studio will now admit to a budget of around $144 million. Which is about $10 million lower than what earlier budget estimates had it pegged at. It could, of course, be that those early estimates, which, by the way, came in after Rothman had cut the budget, were simply overblown. Then again, it is a tried and true practice for Hollywood studios to try to sell underperforming movies as cheaper than they were in order to save face. But let's give Sony the benefit of the doubt here, and just stick with the $144 million figure that is being thrown around. On top of that, the movie also has to recover funds spent on advertising and prints, and with the recent marketing blitz, some have speculated the release to have cost around $140 million too. Variety, however, has the figure pegged as at least $100 million, so again, let's give Sony the benefit of the doubt and assume a total production and release cost of $250 million, keeping in mind that the actual cost is probably higher. Using conventional metrics and rules of thumb, this would mean that the movie needs to gross somewhere between $300 and $400 million worldwide in order to break even. Because remember, the studio doesn't get to keep the entire gross for itself. It has to be shared with the theater chains. And how big a cut of the movie's gross the studio gets depends from territory to territory. Furthermore, the movie won't be released in China due to the Chinese censor's ban on all things paranormal, so the second largest movie market won't help Ghostbusters break even. But breaking even isn't enough. Investors who care only about return on investment put loads of money into this, and they didn't do it to merely break even. No, they want the movie to yield a higher return than investing the same amount into other opportunities would have yielded. So unless it does that, the movie will not have done its job financially. Of course, this isn't a standalone movie so much as an intended franchise starter. Since the movie is intended to start a franchise, it doesn't necessarily need to be as profitable as a standalone movie in order to be considered a success. Especially not if the studio is really counting on it. But it still needs to be profitable enough that the studio feels confident that there really is a market for another one. So no matter how much they may want the movie to succeed, they aren't going to make any more unless this one reaches a specified threshold amount they are comfortable with. That is the case with all intended franchise starters. And more often than not, the threshold number required to greenlight a sequel is a closely guarded secret. When asked, Tom Rothman declined to comment on the amount needed, which is probably Sony's official policy on the matter. Paul Feig, however, must not have gotten that memo, because he blurted the figure out anyway, $500 million. That leaves the question, Based on the first weekend gross, is this figure attainable?
Nope.
In its domestic opening weekend, Ghostbusters grossed $46 million, opening at number 2, behind The Secret Life of Pets, which is in its second weekend. In other words, there will be no TV spots proclaiming Ghostbusters as the number 1 movie in America. Even so, Sony is publicly celebrating the movie as a gargantuan hit and are doing the proverbial victory dance that this opening weekend is the highest opening weekend for both director Paul Feig and Melissa McCarthy. Well, that is a hollow victory if there ever was one, because this is also the most expensive movie either of them has ever worked on, and the first which was part of an established brand. So it was kind of taken completely for granted that it would be their biggest movie yet. We've gotten reports and pictures of empty or near-empty screenings coming in all week. So let's be clear about this. A $46 million domestic opening weekend for a wide-release summer blockbuster franchise starter like the Ghostbusters is not good. It is, however, also not down there in flop territory, so it fits rather nicely into the not great but could have been worse category. Internationally, figures are only known for the UK.
Okay, this guy's put him to sleep, so hopefully we didn't put everybody else to sleep at the same time. His tone, like, he gives a lot of great information that actually surprised me on a couple things. But yeah, that guy's fucking boring as hell.
Don't make fun of Twisted Hallmark Savage.
Yeah, seriously, I was thinking of Hallmark too. Big time. Okay, so a couple of interesting things the guy mentions. First off, I was always under the assumption that it only makes half. From what I'm understanding from his numbers, the movie studio will take in maybe 60-65% of the gross and not the actual 50 like I believed. But as he mentions the territories, it could be different. So like in Russia, it could be higher. Or depending on the movie chain, maybe like Cinemark makes more than movie studio up north might make. So that's interesting. So yeah, if you're averaging 60%. But I was right on that number. He said their number, they were looking at like 500 million. So essentially what I think is going to happen, the guy's like, there's no way that's going to be obtainable if it's only making 60 million, you know, and their target number is 500. Even if a lot of the big markets haven't been released yet, China's a huge market. They won't touch it because of their blocking of certain types of movies, in this case, supernatural stuff, from what I remember the guy just saying. So that's a huge market. Transformers can attest to that for sure. It pretty much solidifies what I said, that it's an absolute flop. Heavy, in terms of numbers, you know, I know we're focusing on Ghostbusters, and this might turn into, in terms of why does this cost so much, and more of like an almost like a 0.25 of Ghostbuster budget, because we've been literally talking about Ghostbusters specifically for like 30 minutes, kind of focusing on in their budget. But was it you that sent me the article that it was getting, the thing was getting redone? Because I'm of the belief that that is just absolute propaganda and that's not going to happen.
The thing or it?
The franchise, that it's, they're not going to reboot it again.
Oh, no, okay. I think they're trying to redo the whole franchise.
The thing is, how do you mark, you know, redo a franchise on what's obviously going to be a huge loss? So unless you're going real long term and you're hoping maybe an all male reboot can do it, why would you put more money into characters that obviously aren't drawing with the fans for whatever reason? You know, I'm not justifying it. I'm just talking numbers here. If you break it down, and people can argue, well, you know, bad trailers, or it could be the trolls on the internet, or it could just be people don't like the actors there. Like, there's a million different reasons. That being said, still shat the bed. You know, I know you mentioned merchandise. I don't think it's going to make up what it did in merchandise, especially when you're opening with number 2 against an animated movie in its second week. I mean, it just does not look good. I cannot see how this does, how a second iteration gets green-lighted, unless they just, for whatever reason, just don't want to die on this and have confidence that if they do it again with maybe a different cast, that it could work.
I think it depends on who they put at the helm of it. Because it's what I kind of mentioned on the 0.5 episode that they originally wanted to do. Because actually, if you remember way back in some of the episodes, when they first started talking about, all right, they're going to do this one reboot and they're probably going to have female characters, there was another movie that popped up that was going to star Chris Pratt, and Channing Tatum with the Russo brothers going to be the directors. Since that was announced or talked about, in which they hadn't made it official because they needed to know how this movie was going to do and how they would figure everything out afterwards. But since then, the Russo brothers have been tapped to do Infinity War. That's two big, huge movies, and their hands are full for the next couple of years. So they're out. But let's play pretend. Let's say they didn't have the Infinity War to do, and they were coming on to do this movie. Yeah. I think them with Pratt and Tatum could fix this problem. Because what they want to do, they do want to copy from the Avengers and have this cinematic universe, even though it's just one kind of franchise, and they want to have a Avengers-type movie where the teams come together. I think that is huge and could be a huge success, but I do feel like they got off on the wrong foot with many fans out there. But I kind of think that other movie could be what gets them out of the water. It also could be just, even if they did do another movie, maybe don't have Paul Feig be the director. Bring in somebody else, and maybe that person could do a little bit better for the franchise. But I still think, and I think Sony is that crazy and that stubborn to do another movie, because I don't know why. Because they seem to be doing, in many other movies, like all these dumb moves.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, look at the Spider-Man fucking reboots. They've been losing a ton of money. And now they've finally partnered with Marvel to maybe get some of it back. Is it Sony that also owns Fantastic Four? Is that Fox? I'm trying to remember. But that was been a fucking abysmal...
Fox.
Yeah, okay. I can see that actually happening. Because you see the Hulk reboots. I mean, how many fucking times has that gotten redone? A couple of Supermans. And they were fucking colossal pieces of shit. So I think you might be onto something where, you know, it's not going to take another 30 years to redo this. Maybe you start fresh in 3 to 4 years with that all-male cast, like a Channing Tatum, Chris Pratt. Who else were they talking about? There was, in terms of comic relief, I think they were talking about, not Seth Rogen, what's his name?
I think those were the only two that I heard for sure that they really wanted, and it sounded like they were willing to do the movie too. I was talking with a bunch of friends, like random, because I seen a meme pop up on Facebook like, oh, these should be the new Ghostbusters. And it was like Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey, and what's his nuts?
Okay, Jim Carrey, stay the fuck away from. Jonah Hill would be good.
Jonah Hill, that's the one. I was like, he used to be fat, then he was skinny, and now he's fat again. Yeah, Jonah Hill. And I every time I seen someone post it, I shot it down. And that's me. And that was me saying Kevin Hart, I don't think would fit as a Ghostbuster. Just picturing him with a proton pack, the proton pack would probably be dragging on the ground. I just don't picture him as a Ghostbuster. Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey are too old. But yeah, Jonah Hill is perfect. So I added the one that we came up with, keeping in Channing Tatum and
Michael B. Jordan. I think if you want to put that African-American spin on it, I think Michael B. Jordan would be a good mix for them.
Could be. I did an all-white one, but it was just picking four funny people.
Don't put all-white dudes. I know. You can't do that.
You get that. I know. But four people that I had in my mind, just to throw it out there, it's keeping with Pratt and Tatum, added Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen.
I think you'd have to get a Michael B. Jordan and an Asian dude. You want an Asian, either like Aziz Ansari or something like that, an East Indian or a fucking Asian. You got to have somebody like that in there too.
Aziz could actually do really well. Granted, I mean, he's kind of the same kind of body type of Kevin Hart, just being someone who's smaller. But, okay, I'm going to pull the racist card out, but it's going to work in their favor. Like, you make him, like, a really smart guy.
Why not? Yeah, fuck it.
I don't know, whoever threw together that meme and said, like, Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey, like, I get it, they're funny, but they're just as old. Almost just as old as the original Ghostbusters, and we don't need them.
No, I think Carrie needs to go bye-bye. He's trying too hard. You see that in his reboot of Dumb and Dumber. It seems awkward now, and I think he needs to shift his type of comedy to get away from that Ace Ventura 90s fucking thing. It doesn't fit him anymore, whether he does serious stuff or he shifts his comedy. Like, he just seems like a guy who's stuck in the 90s and hasn't changed, you know? Like, okay, I'm not saying it's...
Who do you prefer between Carrie and Sandler? You have to pick one.
For that movie?
No. I'm talking in general.
Carrie, if I had to pick one, yeah.
Okay.
I think he'd be the most diverse. I mean, if him and Sandler had to, because Carrie's done serious stuff like Truman Show, The Majestic. I actually like those two movies. Sandler hasn't done anything serious. Well, if you consider Punch Drunk Love or whatever the fuck it's called, you know, like.
What would you consider Man on the Moon?
It's Andy Kaufman. That's what I would consider it. It's awkward because Andy Kaufman's awkward. It was a biopic. It was actually, he did a good job. It's just, I wasn't a fan of Kaufman. That's the problem.
What?
I didn't like the fact that he was trolling the audience like that. I mean, I just.
That's why it's the greatest heel of all time.
Well, I think he was definitely ahead of his time. I'll give you that. And if he was born in this era, he would be more popular than he was. And I like the fact that he kind of went at the establishment. He went against his kind of his role in Taxi. Everybody wanted him to be like Latka or whatever, Latvia, whatever.
I believe it's Latka.
Latka, yeah. So everybody wanted him to be like Latka, and he's like, fuck you. I just wanted. So he was very creative, but he just, I never really found him that funny. So it just, that's what it is, but definitely ahead of his time. So this show totally did not turn out the way I thought it would, but it just, that happens to, you know, that just happens sometimes. So instead of box office budget, we kind of went into depth. It was more like an Anything Goes episode, I would say, more Ghostbusters talk. So I don't even know what to call this thing. Speaking with just the two of us, because the other two no-showed, unfortunately, Kev Bochuk and Will. I think going forward, you and I are going to have more of a talking head show where we're going to review movies like a Siskel and Ebert. I think that's going to be the evolution of this show. We'll see. New episode to happen, I guess, I don't know, a week or two. But yeah, I want to try this new format. What do you think?
I wish we would have thought of this at the beginning of summer. Because I mean, this is just the peak time. Yeah. I feel like with a lot of the movies in my personal life, it's made it harder for me to like stay up on a lot of aspects of wrestling. And I do feel like movies is one of the biggest things because I've been going at least once a week. I think right now we're getting to the midpoint of summer. We're right past the midpoint. And August is where it just starts to go downhill because the excitement's gone. We're getting ready for fall. And we're going to get that lull between now and Halloween. And that's kind of a lull between that and Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And that's not a Christmas theme, but trying to get people into a nice, warm theater to watch these other movies.
You know what? Let's try one episode and see what happens. How about that?
That could work. And there then we still have to inform people at the end of the summer of how the box office.
Yeah. Well, actually, next episode we'll update them. Okay, it's 7:59. The draft starting, so let's end the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Go ahead, every set.
I'm on every single show on the Trending Topics Network, and if brand I'm not new there,
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
And if I'm not on there, give it time. I'll be on there.
Eventually, he will be on there. Okay. Contact information once again at oldmovies.net, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. Oldmovies.net is our main site, partner site, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Enjoy the movies. Enjoy the WWE draft, and catch y'all next time.